What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys, Cap.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Haw.
Pick up the New York or Philly papers. Now you want some vicious journalism. I don't think that the media in this town is as tough as people make it out to be. Toothless.
Okay, what exactly would you want us, I guess, since this is an us versus them, since you're on the outside, Mr. By the way, did you work 16 or 17 hours yesterday not being a member of the media? Okay.
I am a member of the media.
Okay, so own it.
Like, if you pick up the back page of the Philly paper, wow, these guys are brutal.
Oh, I see. To gain your respect as for being a media...
I didn't say my respect.
Hold on. A media contingent with teeth, not toothless. You have to twist things out of context?
Man, that's just mean.
Screaming bold headlines, tabloid style?
Yes.
Okay.
That's more the viciousness I'm talking about.
Packs of wild, vicious dogs.
Jay Mariotti was vicious.
Okay.
Not saying
so
I like him.
So you want Mariotti back?
No.
Now I'd like to apologize for my vicious and brutal attack.
Let's get that on the crawl. Cap: bring Mariotti back. Chicago media toothless.
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going to ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning. What a great morning to be a Chicago hockey, basketball, baseball fan.
Sports.
Wow. I'm David Kaplan. He's lead columnist for the Tribune. He's David Haw. You get us every morning, 9 until noon. The good, the bad, the ugly. Some ugly down 3-0. They roar back and the Blackhawks have a 1-0 series lead. Mike Jacobson is our tremendous executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. Pat Costello is our superstar director. So my family was up. The house is alive. We're rocking. And Duncan Keith tips one in, or knocks one in, and the Hawks win. It was sick.
Bedlam. It was worth the wait. It was definitely one of those games you will remember. You will remember it more if you are a member of Scott Darling's family, a local family, great story. And the Hawks showed us why you never can count them out, and they supplied in the first game of the playoffs a reminder of why. Number one, I think it's sports' best postseason. I think the NHL playoffs
not even close.
Is sports' best postseason.
The only thing that makes something else better is if it's your team in your heart.
Without a doubt.
It's the Bears, the Cubs, the Sox, the Bulls, whatever it is.
But this is game one. I mean, there's 15 more victories that some team has to put together to win the Stanley Cup. And that's game one. On the road, down 3-0, they come roaring back. The story of the game, obviously, was... unfolded when Joel Quenneville pulled Corey Crawford.
At the end of one period.
Who does that?
Joel Quenneville.
Who pulls your goalie? First period of the playoffs. That just doesn't happen in the NHL. But it happens if you're Joel Quenneville and you what? You listen to your gut. And his gut says, we got to change. And we got to do it now. Scott Darling was magnificent. 42 saves. Slammed the back door on a power play in the third period that kept that game alive. It was entertaining. There was no downside to what happened last night. Everything you watched was great theater, with the exception of maybe the national anthem, which was a joke.
That was ridiculous.
It was lame.
Lame.
It was lame.
How about the thing we ran on? Did you watch any of Sports Talk Live yesterday?
I'm sorry, I did not. I was writing.
That's just so rude.
I like to catch it if I can, but I was busy writing, Cap. I'm sorry.
Okay. We showed the. Did you see any of it, Mike? Did you see the little kid? So they had
it was ridiculous.
North Judson on a Friday night when you were playing football. They brought a Blackhawks painted car out, and everyone paid $1 for charity and got to whack the car with the sledgehammer. So this one dad, did you see the dad brings his kid out who has got to be 5, 6, 7, and he helps him hold the sledgehammer, and they hit the car, and the handle of the sledgehammer hits the kid in the leg. He goes running off, and dad just stays there beating on the Blackhawks car. Pretty weak.
There was like 15 people there.
Yeah, it was weak.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even a crowd. Like, what are you doing?
The rendition of the national anthem didn't deserve the game that followed. The game that followed was, you can't say classic, you can't say epic, but for what the Hawks how it all went down, it did have that sort of feel. Because you have a backup goalie making 42 saves to win a game, 23 in overtimes. You won a game in double overtime. You stole that victory. You stole game one. There's no doubt about it. You were down 3-0, and you kept coming back. And you know, we haven't even mentioned in the first 5 minutes talking about this game, Patrick Kane comes back 7 weeks.
Two helpers.
To the day of having surgery for a broken collarbone. He has two assists. And his mere presence made their power play better.
When he has the puck on the wall, and you watch, they back off like we can't attack like they do every other guy that we have.
And why do they do that? Because they know that if they do, they're asking for trouble. And that to me is why he has a little bit more confidence that he's not going to take that huge hit. And if you watched him closely last night, as much as we could with the TV feed, that you saw him bracing himself and positioning himself to take the hits in a way that was intelligent. He knew not to expose himself more than he had to. And as a result, the Predators were exposed on their penalty kill. And when you watched his pass to Patrick Sharp, oh my goodness. The only one that was close, the only pass that was maybe close to that was Teuvo Teravainen's on the first goal to Hjalmarsson.
How about that?
Teuvo and Kane, oh my goodness.
Perceptiveness of Hjalmarsson to notice that, I think it was James Neal, broke his stick, slams the stick down, and he looks good. No stick. Slides
boom.
Right in.
Right there. You know, watching that game, Cap, as they started to climb back from 3-0, and I thought, okay, let's go see what the Bulls are doing.
They'd lost the opening game of 10 straight road series.
I know. And you sort of had thought, okay, this is a familiar narrative. Doesn't mean much. It's one game, whatever. Let's see what the Bulls are doing. Oh, by the way, the Cubs, Travis Wood's pitching a shutout. That's interesting.
Right, and the Bulls are down 15.
Bulls are down 15. I'm thinking, okay, well, they're going to play the Wizards, and good luck with that.
I'm looking on Twitter, and it's Vincent Goodwill from
CSN Chicago.
And I just happen to be looking. I'm looking for Hawks-related stuff. What's going on with Crawford? Is he going to play? It's between, I think, the end of the first period. Derrick Rose not starting the second half. I'm like, what? You mean he's not starting?
It just got interesting.
I'm like, did he get four fouls? I quickly go to stats. No, not a foul problem. Then I look, KC, no reason given.
There was no reason given till after the game.
Wow.
Left knee soreness.
The one that he just had surgically fixed.
No, from what we understand, it was Derrick Rose's decision, according to reports. Maybe there's more to it than that, but there's Derrick Rose's decision to sit out the second half. Precautionary. Aaron Brooks came up big. The Bulls will play the Bucks in game one of that playoff series beginning Saturday, 6 o'clock at the United Center.
Yeah, what a great sports night.
What a time to be a Chicago sports fan
right now. So tonight, we get a breather.
Yeah. Whew. Take a deep
breath.
Nobody's
playing. Everybody's off tonight.
Right.
Tomorrow, we got the Sox at Detroit.
Yep.
The Cubs a day game with San Diego. So you could go literally Cubs, San Diego, Sox, Detroit, Blackhawks, and then get up Saturday. Watch Cubs during the day, Sox during the day,
Samardzija and Price.
Get baseball.
This weekend you're going to get, if you're a Chicago sports fan, Sox and Tigers with Samardzija and Sale going for the Sox. Okay.
Chance to reel them right back in.
You've got Chris Bryant potentially making his major league debut for the Cubs.
Yep.
You've got the Bulls beginning their playoff series in the I-94 series with the Bucks.
Yep.
And you've got the Blackhawks and all of the drama of Friday night playing the Predators, game two. Will it be Scott Darling? Will it be Corey Crawford? We'll find out about noon from Joe Quenneville, and we'll talk about that all today. But you've got all teams with some sort of compelling reason to watch them. It's great.
Okay, let me ask you the big question.
Yeah.
Who's in net tomorrow night?
It's a
who
very
do you
good
start,
question.
And who do you think
what
Q starts?
What a great problem to have. As I just finished up a column for on ChicagoTribune.com, Scott Darling has earned the right to start game two. Scott Darling deserves to start game two.
No.
It doesn't mean that you have given up on Corey Crawford. It doesn't mean that you can't go back to Corey Crawford.
I've gone back and forth on this. No. Crawford.
I am shocked at your level-headedness. I'm shocked at my response to this. I would have thought when I was watching that game last night and anticipating today, I thought that I was leaning your direction, and I thought for sure you'd have Crawford on the next bus to Montreal.
No. I start Corey Crawford.
And I even texted that to Mike Jacobson. I said, I cannot wait till tomorrow when Cap says everybody else is wrong because he thinks that Darling should be the starter. But I thought about it, Cap, and look, there is no wrong answer.
I'm not saying to you that I wouldn't have Scott Darling as my guy next year when I'm in a bit of a rebuild and trade away Corey's money. That's a different discussion.
Okay.
For tomorrow night, I don't believe you're in the playoffs without Corey Crawford's sensational season.
I don't
season.
Either. I agree with that.
Then one bad period, one goal that Michael Roosevelt looked like me out there.
But Cap.
He made a bad mistake behind the net, no question. That was on him.
Yes.
But one bad period and we flush a Jennings trophy season.
No, you're
season.
Not flushing anything. This is not punitive. This is pragmatic. You have so many – sports is all about momentum. And I know people can say, oh, momentum's a cliche. And some people will say, oh, you know, momentum is a myth. But it means something when you're talking about confidence, psyche. And you have Joe Quenneville, a guy that follows his gut. The last time he followed his gut in the playoffs when it involved a rookie goaltender, how'd that go? How'd that go for you? 2010. His name was Antti Niemi. Pretty good. Pretty good niche in Chicago sports history. I'm not saying that Scott Darling is becoming Antti Niemi, but I'm saying that for one more game, you've got to win 15 of these. And the best shot for this team to continue to ride this wave and steal another game is, in my mind, putting that 6'5" goaltender back in net. Scott Darling, you are the starter.
Coming up on the show, Eddie Olczyk joins us in 15 minutes from Nashville. Sean Devaney, national NBA writer for the Sporting News, he will join us as well. And you will have a participatory role in our show today. 312-235-2525.
I'm a little surprised that I feel that way, but I do feel
like
that way.
You are me and I'm you.
It's a little like role reversal here.
Talked to my brother this morning. I'm like, I don't know. I'm betwixt and between. He's like, you got to go with Crawford. You can't. One bad period and you sit him?
But you don't have to. You're not making a 6-week decision. You're making a 60-minute decision. So you're only talking about this game. It doesn't mean you can't go back to Sunday, back at the United Center. Here's Crow again.
All right, here's us after this.
It's Cap and Haw.
Backdoor shot. What a save by Scott Darling. Oh, my. That was a setup of the year for the Predators. Stahlberg over the line, down the right wing to the net. He put it on goal. Kicked out of there by Darling. What a play again by Darling.
Well, the decision will be easy. I think we'll talk about it tonight and tomorrow. We'll let you know. But certainly, you know, he was spectacular. He made those saves in the third period that were the back door on the power play. Looked like came out of nowhere. And he probably made 3-10 bellers in that period. Had some big saves in the overtime. And that was a remarkable performance by him and a tremendous comeback by us.
John Weideman on WGN Radio. The Blackhawks take a 1-0 lead. They beat Nashville 4-3 in double overtime. Second overtime, Duncan Keith, the game winner. Hawks come back from a 3-0 deficit. Cubs beat the Reds, and you heard Joel Quenneville there as well. White Sox beaten by the Indians. Bulls beat Atlanta. Busy night in Chicago sports.
Yeah, a lot of 10 bellers going on. What? I have to really stop and hear that. You don't hear that very often from a coach.
3-10 bellers.
Love that.
That's great.
Edzo calls him A++ chances.
Yeah, tremendously tremendous, Scott Darling was. Cap, here's the thing that I knew was coming, okay? I am not suggesting that Corey Crawford is to blame for the 3 goals against him. I'm not suggesting that Corey Crawford maintain his seat on the bench for the rest of the playoffs. As I said to you before and wrote in the column this morning on ChicagoTribune.com, it's not a punitive decision. It's a pragmatic one. In sports, you do ride the hot hand. It doesn't discount Corey Crawford's great season, the best one he's put together in the NHL. We're talking about one game, 60 minutes if you're lucky. It's a 60-minute decision, not a 6-week decision. So I just believe that when you're talking about what is best for the next game, try to steal another one. Scott Darling was tremendous. You're not going to see much better goaltending than you got last night, and maybe he carries that over, and maybe he falls on his face. And if he does, you know what? You've got the guy that has won a Stanley Cup waiting in the wings to to replace him in game two and probably start in game three. I'm not saying this is a permanent decision. I'm saying that in sports, sometimes you have to ride the hot hand. And this is, or the hot glove hand, if you will. And he's got a pretty hot glove hand right now.
He does. 312-235-2525. We'll get to your calls after we talk to Eddie Olczyk.
Why do you, what is the, tell me the argument for going back to Corey Crawford, though, because I feel like there's a sense that, you know, the goaltending, you know, the two toughest jobs in sports, NFL quarterback, NHL goaltender, right? Mm-hmm. And we tend
and
to
closer.
Have. So, yeah, closer in baseball will probably be third. The mentality, you know, chemistry, all those things matter, but is the chemistry as important, or why does a goaltender have claim to that job no matter what? You know what I mean? Why is it such a radical thought for so many people? I'm getting killed on Twitter and some text here too. Oh, geez. Somebody says that Kaplan's invaded my brain. I mean, it's like.
Well, here's one.
But why is it.
At the Capman, I don't agree with Haw ever. I mean, ever. But he's spot on. You start, darling.
Well, you don't have to say ever, ever. I mean, every once in a while. I just don't know what it is. Is there a different standard that applies? Because Joel Quenneville, again, got up in front of the media before game one. Antoine Vermette did not play. Why? Performance-based, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a coach that uses that argument to bench a veteran who you traded for at the deadline to be effective for when? The playoffs. Then he's going to turn around and say, make a decision that ignores performance. To me, I understand that if he did it, there's no wrong answer, but I think he'll make the right one when he decides at noon and announces that Scott Darling is going to be a Net. That's just my projection. It hasn't happened yet, but I think that he'll do that.
I think you go with Crawford. You can't take away an entire season of work based on one period. Darling was magnificent. Crawford, you struggle tomorrow. All bets are off then if
nobody's
we bring Darling
away,
in.
Though. Nobody's taking it away. He's still there. He still did it. He accomplished it. He got you here. Nobody's ignoring
him. Hey, Scott, you did a great job. You're going to start until you screw up one game, and then we're going back to Corey. No.
Wasn't it,
to Corey, I can always bring Darling in again in relief.
Wasn't it great that after the game, when you saw the on-ice coverage in the video from the celebration, who was the first guy
Corey
out there?
Corey Crawford.
To
awesome. I said to my
Darling.
Wife, that tells you all you need to know. Class right there.
That's all class. Yeah, and I thought they brought attention to that, and I think that shows you a lot about Corey Crawford as a teammate. Scott Darling has been through a lot. This since 2006, Cap, these are the teams that Scott Darling has played for. North Iowa Outlaws, Capital District Selects, Indiana Ice, University of Maine, the Louisiana Ice Gators, Mississippi River Kings, Florida Everblades, Wichita Thunder, Wheeling Nailers, Hamilton Bulldogs, Milwaukee Admirals, Cincinnati Cyclones. Okay, that's since 2006.
Louisiana Ice Gators. I want an Ice Gators hat. I think that'd be a cool logo to see.
This is a guy that was a member of the Predators organization. The irony of him having the game of his life
against the Preds in their building.
Against the Preds in their building, which to me demoralizes them. Now, we're paying a lot of attention to the goalie situation. But imagine being Nashville. You take a 3-0 lead. You've got your building on your side. You've kept the Hawks fans, those dreaded Hawks fans, away. You got the anthem. Your mayor's leading the anthem. The people are singing when they're not staring at their phones. You've got everything going in your favor.
That was a Hawks fan staring at his phone, too.
Okay, though. All right.
That's not good.
And then all of a sudden, here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. And they get in your head and they steal a victory. Now what? Game two. What are you going to do?
Can you bring out who's the hot singer down there?
Carrie Underwood?
No.
That's Mike Fisher's wife.
Yeah. That's who you bring out then.
Miranda?
You bring Miranda Lambert. You bring Carrie Underwood out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. To sing the anthem? That would definitely be inspiring.
Who's the one married to the boxer?
Hayden?
Yeah, does she sing or no?
She's a fictional character in the
Nashville.
TV show Nashville.
Okay, so you bring Carrie Underwood out.
Yes. You're not comparing them as singers, are you?
No. I don't watch Nashville. I wouldn't know. So
it was on last night, too. I had to record it.
Oh, God.
I'd record one national while I was watching the others. I did. I don't have issues.
I'm going from Hawks, Bulls, Cubs.
Yeah.
Dropped over a little bit on the Islanders, Washington on NBCSN.
Mm-hmm.
Watched a little Vancouver, Calgary later. You're watching Nashville?
No. You didn't listen. I said I recorded Nashville and I watched the other Nashville.
I wouldn't even waste DVR space.
Well, I waste a lot of DVR space on Nashville.
Ugh, boy.
It's a quality show.
Somebody just sent me the logo for the Louisiana Ice Gators. Okay, I want an Ice Gators hat. I will trade Lou Malnati's pizza for an Ice Gators hat. That hat is sick. That logo.
What a night, though, for Scott Darling. I got to tell you. The well-traveled Scott Darling, 26 years old, and he has been with, I think, 13 teams.
All right. Eddie Olczyk is next, and then all your calls. 312-235-2525. It's Cap and Haw basking in the glow of a Hawk come-from-behind second overtime win.
Olczyk got to it. Olczyk busting at center ice. Comes over the line. Shooting. He scores! Olczyk! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fjord on the sixth side.
For all you young hockey players out there, this is Eddie Olczyk. Don't do what Cap's doing right now. But kidding aside, you're listening to Cap and Haw.
Olczyk!
All right, great win for the Hawks. Tremendous to hear Edzo and Pat Foley on the call.
They were so good last night.
They were outstanding. Yeah. Brought their A games. And as Joel Quenneville said after the game, Darling with 3-10 bellers. Those would be A++ chances, according to our great friend
he
Eddie Olczyk. And he joins us now.
Tremendously tremendous.
He was tremendously tremendous. And he joins us from a suite somewhere at the Renaissance in Nashville. Hello, Edzo. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Eddie.
Good morning, boys. Cap, no, that's I'm at the opposite end of the totem pole on that one with where I'm staying. But at least I got a roof over my head and had a nice little nap and get ready to see what's going to take place today in the National Hockey League. What a way to start the playoffs and a tough first period for the boys. I know a lot of talk will probably be about the goaltending, and you know, I think that's fair, but. And the three goals in the first period, I mean, I thought, you know, just the one where Crow got a little bit adventurous there and got caught out of the net. And, you know, Victor Stahlberg had a wide open net, but the other two, he had no chance. I mean, that's just from where I sit. The first goal was a perfect shot by Colin Wilson, put it up in that tight little window short side. And then the third one was a redirect on the power play. So, but it was a heck of a comeback. A gutsy comeback, and it just goes to show the ability and the mindset of this team is that doesn't matter situation, they're able to overcome some adversity, and that was some huge adversity, and the great relief performance. I know it's baseball season, but the great relief performance in goal by Chicago native Scott Darling.
Eddie, so it's a great problem to have, and if you're Joel Quenneville, I don't think there necessarily is a wrong answer.
Sure.
But I think the right one is to ride the hot hand and to stay with Scott Darling. And I don't think that takes anything away from what Corey Crawford did during the season. And I don't think it's punitive as much as I think it's pragmatic. And I just believe that you've got to ride the momentum in the playoffs. But you could go either way. But if it were me, and I've thought about this a lot, and I'm sure everybody who watched that game has,
yeah.
I would stay with Darling. How about you?
Yeah. And just so you know, I said I would start Crawford.
Yeah. Look, I think you're right, David. There really is no, I don't believe anyways, I don't believe there's a wrong answer. If you go back to when the Hawks had been struggling, and, you know, excuse me for not remembering the sequence here, but, you know, you go back some, you know, 30 games, 25 games, whatever it was, when the goaltending was going through a tough time. And they sent down Antti Raanta. They brought up Scott Darling. They gave Darling the 2-year contract extension. I remember being on with you guys, and I said, look, it's Scott Darling's net, in my opinion, to stay if he plays well. Because at that time, Corey was, you know, struggling. If he wins, I'd put him right back in there. And he played really well, and Joel went right back to Crow. Right after that. So, I can only go on what I've seen in the past. And as I said earlier, it's just that's how I feel about the goal. Maybe, you know, look, maybe there's other people. I mean, a lot of people in this game know a lot more than me. But I just thought that the one goal was not a good goal because he got adventurous. The other two goals, I don't care who was in there. Now, I believe in on a roll and a guy that's seen the puck extremely well. We've seen it from Crawford. We've seen it from Darling all season long. But for me, I think you go right back to Crawford. And look, you know Darling can come in. I think he's proven that. It's one game. Now, you know, it is one game. But I think that, you know, you can't go wrong on either side. But if it was me, I would go right back to Corey Crawford and give him an opportunity to get right back in there.
All right, let's talk about being down 3-0. Not a lot of jump, as you like to say.
Yeah.
And then they make the goalie change. What turned it around? Because
what turned it around was that 4-on-4 capper. Remember, the Hawks started the second period on a power play. Didn't have much going on. And then a penalty happened right at the start of the second period. I think it was Hossa, right?
That took Hossa along the boards.
Yeah, right. So when that happened, it became 4-on-4, and that was the first time that we saw 4-on-4 hockey in that game. Both teams had a chance or two, and then all of a sudden, James Neal of the Nashville Predators blocks a shot, and he still has his stick intact, but to him it felt a little flimsy. He had a wardrobe malfunction. So what did he do? And we showed the replay, and hopefully everybody got a chance to see it. He tested his stick, and he broke his stick in half when he was testing it, and he just threw it away, and then all of a sudden, Nicholas Hjalmarsson, I mean, to me, that was the play of the game, where he recognized the open space. He realized that Neal got rid of his stick, and then Neal just drifted. I don't know what – I mean, obviously, he had a brain cramp. I mean, you just – if you're in that situation – let me go back. If you're in that situation, and you're in your own zone – and you feel like your stick is ready to give, and it's still intact, and the referees have no idea that you could be playing with a broken stick, you hold on to that stick. I mean, you don't, you know, I mean, that's like being up a river without a paddle, right? I mean, you don't discard it unless you absolutely positively have to. He did, and Hjalmarsson read the play, and then Tavo made the incredible pass from below the goal line right to Hjalmarsson, and Rene was as surprised as anybody at how wide open he was. So for me, that's what changed the game around, was that probably, 3 seconds when Neal broke his stick, discarded it, and then Hjalmarsson read it and came in and put the puck past Rene. To me, that changed the entire game. And I made mention of it last night, and we've talked about it over the years, guys, is that you see in these playoffs, there's going to be surges. And when you don't have it, the first answer you have to have is, how do we stop it? Then once you stop it, or at least it subsides for a period of time, how do we get that momentum on our side so that we can have a surge? And yesterday was one of those games where, I mean, it was back and forth when you talk about the first and second period. So for me, Capper, long-winded, I thought that the game changed on that play with Neal and Hjalmarsson.
Eddie, last night you mentioned a couple times that the Hawks essentially were playing defense with 4.5 D-men, and that they really kind of shortened the time Teeminen and Roosevelt. They were not guys that you could trust. It looked like Joe Quenneville had lost some confidence, and yet they were very valuable in overtime because of the endurance factor.
Yeah.
But moving forward, what do you expect Joe Quenneville to do to address that issue? Because I think you're right. There were only 4 guys that you really could trust, and that's not enough.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. As the game went on, and you have to use your full complement of players. Now, if you know, the rotation may be, David, where it's the big four, and you know they go out every other shift. So maybe it's 1-2, 1-2, and then you put those guys out there with one of those other two groupings. So I mean, if it's 1-2, 1-2, 3, 1-2, 1-2, 3, and if you got to go 1-2, 1-2 for 3 or 4 rotations, and then get that third rotation with a different guy. I mean, you have to do that because it's you don't know how long the game's going to go. I mean, you really don't. The way that Darling was playing, Nashville could have put 6 or 7 guys on the ice and the puck wasn't going to get in. I mean, that's just the way that he was playing. And Rene seemed to regain some composure and after a second period. But he's been leaky. I mean, he's been leaky here the last cap. We had this conversation a couple of weeks ago. I mean, he's been giving up some leaky goals, or even when you had me in studio the other day before on Tuesday when Brooke was filling in for David, that You know, I mean, he hasn't been the same guy since his injury, and, you know, there have been some holes, and that's why Nashville has struggled. I mean, they've lost seven in a row now when you go back to the regular seasons. But I think, David, that you talk about the defense, I think that if those are, you know, if Roosevelt and Tiimonen are your best guys, and you have, you know, or if that's what you think that who they are, and obviously Joel did because he started with them in the top six, is that you got to find a way to be able to give those guys and just have them kill some minutes for you. And look, if they can make some plays, like I thought as the game went on, those guys seemed to obviously have fresher legs than a lot of guys on both teams. And it's important to use those guys because you just don't know how long these games are going to go. And, you know, can you afford Duncan Keith to be playing, you know, 40 minutes a night if you do get into games that end up getting into, you know, single and double and possibly triple overtime?
We're talking to the great Eddie Olczyk, who you catch on all the Blackhawks games on WGN and Comcast Sportsnet. Also works at NBCSN. All right, let's talk about what you saw defensively from the Blackhawks, because Kimmo Tiimonen and Michael Roosevelt did not see much time. You made the comment during the game that in the third period in overtime, they were playing with 4.5 defensemen. How long can you do that?
Probably as long as Joel feels that the other big four guys are playing on a full tank of gas.
Do you go to Comiskey in game two?
No, I think I just elaborated on that, Cap, a little bit earlier. But I, you know, look, if those are your guys, then you're gonna play them. But as the game went on, as I said, you know, those guys seemed to get a little bit more traction, seemed a little bit be a little bit more fresh. And
it's just like I'm nervous when Roosevelt's on the ice.
Don't be nervous. He's your defenseman.
Eddie, you can quantify Patrick Kane's return because he had two assists and obviously the time on the ice. I think for a guy who hasn't played in 7 weeks, showed some pretty good stamina. I know that Joe Quenneville talked afterwards. There's some rust involved. He even addressed it. But the mere presence of having a guy like that on the power play, how would you describe the difference that made? And moving forward, what do you think we'll see in terms of each game we'll get a little bit closer to seeing the guy we remember?
Yeah, I mean, it was a battle for Patrick Kane. You saw on a couple of the handles through the middle of the ice, just trying to do a little bit too much. I think I made the one comment there where he tried to beat a couple of guys and instead of just chipping the puck in. And look, I mean, we know he can beat those guys, but just it's been a while. And but you're right, the impact that he has on this team on the power play, forcing Peter Laviolette, the head coach of the Nashville Predators, you know, who do you defend? Who do you check? are you looking at the Richards Versteeg Kane line as dangerous, looking at them right now with Patrick Kane being on a lineup as long as he has, David, with the timing aspect of it is, you know, who are you going to check? And that's what it ends up coming down to. But, you know, as days go on, he's going to get sharper, but the impact that he has to be able to control the puck on the power play, on the entries, make the plays. He made the beautiful pass over there on the Patrick Sharp goal on the 5-on-3. I mean, those are things he's able to do, and he's going to draw attention. And I think for any player that comes back is that, you know, simplifying is probably the easiest way to get through early until you can gain some traction and gain some confidence and, get the puck in, get your legs churning and just simplify your game. So, look, you're right. Maybe he wasn't his sharpest game that we've seen Patrick Kane, but he certainly had a huge impact, and that's why he's a special player.
I hope that you and Pat got that ribeye steak that Pat was salivating about.
What? Let me just say, David, let me just say this. That's probably going to take place, and let me look at my clock here in my my nice little quaint room here. That's going to be in about 9.5 hours from right now, where I'm going to be sticking a pitchfork in about a 64-inch bone-in ribeye. I'm just telling you that right now because I'm one hungry human right now.
Mark Lazarus just tweeted, Edzo and David, among the Blackhawks players to be available to reporters today, and they're doing the conference call at 11:45, Game 2 starting goaltender, TBA. So there's obviously some discussions going on. You coached. You've worked around the game forever.
Yeah.
When they have their meetings either late last night or this morning, how much input does Stan, Scotty, those people make on Joel? Or in the end, Joel can start Eddie Olczyk in that if he wants. It's his call.
Well, let me just say this, is that when you look at the lineup that he dressed and the guys that he sat out last night, I think that that pretty much tells you that Joel has the autonomy to do what he wants for the most part. You know, look, I'm not saying that in season and they're showcasing somebody or whatever, something like that. But look, I mean, Joel is one of the top top winning coaches of all time. He's got two Stanley Cups in the last 5 years. I would think that, I would hope that the people in charge would certainly have all the confidence in the world that Joel would make the right decision. I mean, look at that. Hey, that's what he gets paid the big bucks for, to make that decision moving forward. But it's I'm sure he would talk to Jimmy Waite, the terrific goaltending coach of the Blackhawks, his assistant coaches. I'm sure, you know, a lot of managers would give their input to their coach. But I think with Joel's experience, I think you just, hey, you're paying him to be the guy to make those tough decisions. And whatever Joel decides, you got to live with it. And hopefully for Blackhawk fans and the team that it will be the right one going into game two.
Eddie, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Enjoy your time down there.
David,
great stuff.
David, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Is Cap preoccupied with anything going on there?
Checking Twitter
more than usual.
Well, I just kind of was just kind of little. I got a little discombobulated myself there. I thought I was on tape delayed there for a second with a little follow up there with Capper. So I just wait. Yeah, Capper, you okay? What are you checking to see what's going on?
I'm just waiting on a goaltending decision.
Or what? Well, what's going on?
Just on a goaltending decision.
All right, buddy.
Hey. Chris Bryant's up tomorrow.
And I haven't seen enough tweets from you.
Hey, wait a second here. This is a whole new world for me. So I'm just going at it at a nice speed. And look, it's fun. You get to interact with the great hockey fans, whether they like you or not. And hey, at the end of the day, we'll see how long this thing lasts. But so far, so tweet.
By the way, what was your take last night on the whole vibe down there? Because on Sports Talk Live, we showed the lame Hawks car out there that they're beating up with a sledgehammer and all the singing nonsense. And Pat had a great little zinger that Mikey played at the start of the show where down in Nashville, Music City, USA, and you can't find a singer. What was your take on the whole vibe there?
For the first time in a long, long time, they certainly did keep the red out. There's no doubt about it. I mean, that was probably one of the one game where they really did keep Blackhawk fans out. Look, the Nashville's not the only team that does this. Okay, can I just make that perfectly clear? There are other teams that have these same kind of angles and what have you. But look, the vibe, I mean, look, the building was electric. If any Blackhawk fan has been down here for a game, I mean, it's a great building. I mean, when it's packed and it's going, I mean, it's a fun building. Like, I'm not much into the whole scene here in Nashville, but I mean, it seems like everybody enjoys, like, it seems like this is a destination place when a lot of NHL teams come to down here in Nashville. But the vibe was positive, Cap. It really was. Like, it was a great atmosphere in the building. Didn't get much sense on the outside of it. But hey, you know, control what you can control. And, if they want the crowd to sing or if they want to bring in, Mike Fisher's wife, Carrie Underwood, let her. I mean, if she wants to sing, then go ahead. I mean,
absolutely.
Whatever you got to do.
You're right on there, Eddie.
Yeah, she looked good last
night.
Thanks
a lot.
Edzo, thanks, buddy.
I don't know, Cap. I'm worried about the stats and the power play and the goaltending. I can't be. I only can do so much from my perch.
You're actually more worried about a 64-ounce porterhouse.
No, first, you know what? See? You're not listening. You're not listening. I didn't say porterhouse.
Or T-bone, whatever.
Oh, now it's whatever, right? See, I called you out. You were wrong, and now you get offensive on me. Okay? D-Haw, have a great day, buddy. Glad to have you back. And Capper, you know what? Straighten up.
Thanks, Eddie.
See ya. Boy,
love you. See ya.
Love you. He's unbelievable. I would love to be there tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
Oh.
Go down. It's easy to get to Nashville. Pack up the RV. Just head on down.
I would so love to
be at
that
Catmobile. Or just take the Corvette. Zip on down. Park it right
7 hours.
Valet it at Tootsie's and just kind of walk on over after pregame beverage. There you go.
That'd be sick. You want to go?
There are worse places to spend a weekend.
Oh, be phenomenal. All right, 312-235-2525. We are going to take your calls next Some say crow. Some say darling. We'll get to all those and you. It's all coming up. Cap and Haw.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
It's Luis Tejosa. Back to Keith along. Shot. He's gone. Hawks win. Hawks win.
That was on Comcast Sportsnet, where you're watching Cap and Haw 9 to noon each day. Don't forget the rewind late at night at 11 if there's not double overtime
most
hockey
nights.
Going on.
Yeah.
Cap and Haw continues here also on WGN+. So I just got these in while we were talking to Eddie from CSN Chicago. Get this. The ratings yesterday, CSN Chicago, the number one most watched network in the entire Chicago market yesterday for 9 straight hours, 4 p.m. to 1 a.m. Official ratings, a 9.8 household rating, peak audience of 456,000 homes tuning in.
That's great. That's a lot of interest. A lot of Hawks fans. It's amazing the feedback you get when something like this happens. You write about the Hawks, you talk about the Hawks, and people come out in droves. Yeah, that's great.
Unbelievable numbers. All right, let's go to the phones.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. We go with Rich in Southern Illinois, because you say I don't ever start with the calls that favor you. Go ahead, Rich. What's
hey, Rich.
Going on, buddy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I love your show. Hey, Cappy, I always respected your analysis on sports, but I got to go with Haw on this one. I think playoff momentum is everything, and maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way, and this is a poor analogy, but Madison Bumgarner was the hottest pitcher last year, and he got the final three outs of the World Series, so I go with Haw. You got to go with the hot hand.
Yeah, but he also, Madison Bumgarner, was not a guy who came from the Louisiana Ice Gators. He was a guy who was a superstar anyway.
And I agree. I just got to go with Haw on this one. I think you're going for a championship. I got to go with the hot hand.
Thanks, Rich.
Thanks, Rich.
Appreciate
see you, bud.
It.
Duke in Des Plaines.
Yeah, it's good debate. Hey,
hey Duke.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up there, bud?
I got to go with you, Cappy. We're going to go with Crawford. He looked so disappointed yesterday in himself. Man, he's going to come back with a flair, I think. Just have that guy, what the hell's his name, the other goalie?
Ronta?
Yeah. You know, he's going to be there for the saves, man. But I don't think you're going to need him after this.
This isn't about Antti Ranta.
No, you're talking about Scott Darling.
Yeah, that's his name. I keep forgetting it.
All right, Duke. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Duke.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Duke.
312-235-2525.
Made a bad decision on the second goal. It was too adventuresome. He was too aggressive. He paid for it. It can't happen. And I think that Joe Quenneville reacted to that as much as anything.
I thought Eddie said the first goal he had no chance. It was a great shot. I'll give you, it was a great shot. I thought he should have been able to stop it.
I don't know
the
how.
The third goal he had no chance.
Yeah, I don't know about the first one. I think the first one was difficult circumstances. Roosevelt was no help. And that's a shot that, yeah, Scott Darling might have made that stop as hot as he was in the overtime session. But I don't know that you can hold that necessarily against Corey Crawford. That's going to happen at home with home. I don't know that was the reason they pulled him. I think the second goal was something that, you know, was like, oh, gosh, all right, this is not his night. His head's not in it. Let's make a change.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Darren's in Rockford. Hey, Darren, welcome to Cap and Haw. What's going on here, Cookie?
Hey, Kevin Hall. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey,
you know, I think you've got to start Crawford, you know, tomorrow night. You know, just because he had a bad game, he's the guy that got you there.
Agreed.
You know, and I think he's going to come out with a vengeance in the next game. And you can't go wrong with either of them. But I think you got to give him some leeway. And you know, if he doesn't do very well tomorrow night, you know, then you start thinking about it.
Why are you worried about his psyche? Are you worried about Corey Crawford's state of mind if you don't start him?
I'm not worried about his state of mind, it's necessarily so to say, but I think, you know, he's the guy, he's won you a cup, you're paying him $6 million a year, he's your guy.
None of that matters right now. 2013 doesn't matter, the salary doesn't matter, the cap doesn't matter. All that matters is game two. So what gives you the best chance to win game two? Not next series, not the Western Conference Finals, not the Cup Finals. What gives you the best chance for the 60 minutes that is supposed to be game two? Maybe it'll be 80 minutes. Maybe it'll be 92 minutes. Who knows? But what gives you the best chance?
That's true. You know, I think the way, you know, with the way Darling played last night, you know, it's definitely a consideration. But I think you just, I think you got to go with Crawford. I think he is the better goalie, in my personal opinion.
I can't say he's the better goalie. I could say he's the guy that got you there right now. You don't know what the future is.
Thanks, Darren.
Appreciate it.
But it's not a, you know, I think Joel Quenneville, if you want to criticize him for second guess him on things, he is inconsistent with this sort of meritocracy of the Blackhawks. Is it always performance based, as I identified as a criteria that I would use with Vermette, with Darling? He has different scale for different players. I think Chris Versteeg has gotten the benefit of the doubt a lot more often than I would have given it him to.
All right, we'll talk NBA at 10:40 with Sean Devaney, the national NBA writer for Sporting News. Follow him on Twitter at Sean Devaney. But we'll continue this Blackhawks discussion off a great 2-overtime win in Nashville and coming back from a 3-0 deficit. Who starts in net? Your thoughts on the struggles defensively? Coach Q shrinking that rotation defensively late? Get all of that to you. 312-235-2525 plus Patrick Kane's impact. 9 a.m. hour, sponsored by the great people at Apt Electronics. ABTApt.com. Ask for our buddy Steve Shapiro. 312-235-2525. Be right back.